Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Idea Roastery. I'm Jason.
And I'm Herman.
So it's 2024 and it's a new year, hopefully better than the last.
If you think about it, if you think about like 2020, 2021, and 2022, and maybe this is just a personal thing. It is definitely just a personal thing. But people at the end of the year were like, wow, I'm glad that year's over. Whereas 2023 was the first time in a while where people got to the end of it and they were like, yeah, that was all right. Like, nice.
2023 was the first year you could like fuck it up yourself, right?
Yeah.
So you didn't have anyone. If you had a bad year, it was mostly up to yourself and any sort of happenings. But 2024, it's a nice even number. I feel good about it as a number. And so as we go into the new year, a lot of people are talking about making up resolutions or goals. We're not resolution people, I don't think. We're kind of more thinking long term. As you know, like most people, the resolution is something that lasts for about 2 weeks. You know, they'll go to the gym once, or maybe they'll sign up and not go, or they'll hold back on pizzas for a bit. I'm doing no drinking before January, at least. So we'll see how long that goes. But it's about reinventing yourself and sort of setting a tone for the year.
I like the idea of setting a tone for the year. Is that resolutions? Sorry, I just need to slide in a joke over here. Is my New Year's resolution is 8K because I've got a big TV and it has a big resolution. So when we talk about New Year's resolutions, people tend to talk about them in terms of like, you know, new year, new me. Turns out it's really, really difficult to reinvent yourself on the 1st of January.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there are stats that we could go and look up, but I would say the vast, vast majority of New Year's resolutions fail because it turns out just saying, here's what I'm going to do in the new year is not, there's a difference between, let me see if I can word this nicely. There's a difference between an intention or a goal and a plan. Right. So it's like saying, I am going to something arbitrary. I'm going to lose body fat this year. That's a goal, but a plan is I am going to cook at least 5 dinners a week, right?
Are you talking about smart goals, Herman? Is that?
I'm not necessarily talking about smart goals, but I am familiar with the concept. It's like simple, measurable, achievable, the R, realistic, and timely or time constrained. And I think that there's definitely a lot to be said over there is that instead of just saying what it is you want to do, you're also putting in a framework of how you're going to do it and you're time capping it so that you can tell whether you've achieved it. You've kind of like defined what done is to you. And I think that that's a useful thing.
It's useful. But I think the more astute listener will know that this is not something that's just specific to January. It is something that you should do on a continuous basis. Like you should be doing this all the time, right? Coming up with goals, coming up with plans for those goals is important in terms of achieving stuff. And it's something that probably I'd say I've learned a little bit more as someone in my early 30s in the last few years. And I didn't really pay too much attention to when I was younger, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think it's more that, yeah, we've got people who think about goals in terms of like just saying it as like a frivolous thing, like while you're having, you know, your Christmas dinner. But then there's also the actual effecting what you want to have, right? So my process is, yeah, I do it in December, but there's an intentionality behind it. And the intentionality is that, you know, sitting down for, you know, a couple of days, like having a think, like removing distractions, thinking about what it is that you want to achieve. And I take a bit of stuff from the Amazon way. So we have a process called working backwards, which I'm quite fond of. And this year I'm going to try and bring it more into my personal life. We do the process of working backwards is starting with what is the goal you want to have and what do you want to be in. And what we do is inside Amazon is we actually create like a newspaper post or a sort of first draft. So what would it look like on the day that it's launched and what is the different features that it has? So doing that in terms of like 5 years, 10 years from now, what do I want to have as like a life? And then starting to work backwards towards today. So like, this is what I want to have. And if I want to have this, what are the different steps that I need to have in place to get there? And I find that this process of finding out where you want to go, working backwards, but also knowing that you're not restricted to that because, you know, in a year's time, things are going to change and you might have to readjust, but at least having something that you're working towards can help you in your day to actually move forward on those goals.
Yeah. So I think you and I have a similar process over there. What I did at the end of last year is I went to a nice coffee shop with both my brother and Emma, my partner. And we actually had like almost like a mini retrospective of our year. We talked about like what went well, like what did we really enjoy about the past year? What were the highlights? And what didn't go well for me, it was I spent way too much time on YouTube. And I also like, in some ways, missed my friends, right? So a lot of my friends have been stolen by the UK, you included. And so Cape Town's feeling a little bit more empty. So, you know, and then what, when you start thinking about goals and intentions or resolutions for the new year, that kind of goes into the what can be improved or what is it that you would like to focus on. And so similarly to you, I like to have a very, very small number of goals where instead of just being like, I'm reinventing myself, I'm gonna, you know, start waking up at 5 a.m. and going for a run, and I'm gonna eat only a healthy diet, and I'm going to, you know, get into work and work really hard, and then, you know, protein shake at 10 o'clock, bup, 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 is that's a really good way to not do that. Well, you're going to burn yourself out by, yeah, what's it, the 7th of January today? So you'd, yeah, burn yourself out by now.
Yeah. So that's a top tip, right? So one of the top tips is that you should not overdo it in terms of the things you want to change. And especially when it comes to things that are radical changes to the way that you've been doing things in the past. One thing that I've recently done, which I really appreciate, is reading a book called 4,000 Weeks. And it's a book that basically tries to give you a sense of like how short life is and how you won't be able to achieve everything, right? And part of the book is about coming to terms with your, I think they call it a finitude or a finality or something like that. So basically like coming to terms with the fact that you can't do everything. And so with that mindset, I've actually for this sort of run of the years, I've gone into a more sort of distilled idea of one or two goals that I really want to focus hard on and try and ignore the rest, knowing that, you know, in time, you may be able to achieve them, but also the ones that are most important, you could get those done first rather than doing too much. And as you say, fall off the rails.
Yeah. And I think that the next thing over there is, once you've decided on your theme, I was reading a post on Less Wrong, and they summed it up really nicely. They said something along the lines of, one of the problems with just arbitrary goal setting without specifying a bit of a plan is that you spend your time trying to do things that feel aligned with your goal, but that is like a losing strategy. Is, you know, you're like, hey, let's just use weight loss because it's such a universal goal for so many people. Is you can every meal decide to, you know, feel like you're doing something aligned with that strategy, but instead what you could do is you could make the decision once to, you know, meal prep for the week, or something along the lines of that. So I like to specify what that looks like to me. So as an example, if I want to spend more time with friends, I want to like nurture relationships this year. Okay, what does that look like to me? That looks like I would get to the end of each week with that kind of like wholesome, full feeling that comes with a good amount of socializing with people who you're close with, which is different from the, you know, socializing with people who you aren't close with, where you kind of feel a little bit drained at the end of the week. And so that's what it, the achieving the goal would look like. And what could I put into place to try and do something like that? Well, I can nurture existing communities. So it's like I've got a bunch of, I've got like a little dinner group of bootstrappy founders who I have a dinner with once a month. So just make sure that those still happen. Maybe take the reins if things are going off the rails over there. It could also mean explicitly making time to do activities with friends, whether it be, you know, record a podcast with someone or go and do some slacklining in the park. But just making sure to spend time with those people who make you feel good. And I think why this is a important one for me is that, you know, I work from home. I don't have any colleagues because I run my own company solo. And so I don't have like casual colleague type relationships. And so I kind of have to be very intentional about getting out there and spending time with people.
Yeah. It's probably an underlooked aspect of being the solo founder, right? It's like, I think taking colleagues for granted in personal relationships is maybe quite common these days. I know in my company, there's a couple of people who are less in the office than I am. But I think it's like those different aspects are important. And I think when it comes to setting goals for the year, it's also to have a good balance, right? There's obviously career, there's like family, there's finances, there's like friendships, there's different aspects of your life. And in some cases, I like to focus on like a bit in all areas, right? But also trying to internalize them into habits, right? So I think what you were talking a little bit about there is starting off slow. Like if your goal is to, you know, engage more with people, then the first step would be to like actively go to a place where there are more people. And starting off slow, not saying I'm going to do like 1,000 things, or I'm going to like, you know, host 5 gatherings when you've never hosted one in your life. So starting off small and just being intentional, and then also internalizing them into habits, right? So like them as I myself am a person who does this, rather than it's something that I'm doing.
That's a really interesting way to frame it. I like that.
So like, and this is what I try and do is like, you don't want to say, I want to be fit. It's like, I am a healthy person. And then thinking about like, what do healthy people do?
Yeah. What are the decisions that I make in the context of me being healthy? Yeah. Yeah.
And it's almost like, I see it as a little bit of like, it's I think I've heard it recently saying it's like you're creating that inner self, right, where you're like a person and people see what you do, and that's like an external facing self, right? So when you say to yourself that I'm a healthy person, but then someone comes to you and says, oh, you're a healthy person, like what do you do? And then you kind of have to say, oh, you know, I as a healthy person, I like go for a run in the mornings, or I, you know, lift weights. And that's a good way of like sort of forcing yourself in a way to actually go and do those things, because you're using a bit of fear in the fact that someone's going to say, hey, dude, you said you're a healthy person, but like you're not, like you just sit on the couch all day. And so I think that like creating that inner self of like, I'm a healthy person. What do healthy people do? I'm a like someone who goes and talks to people. That's like, I'm a little bit more social. That's just who I am. And so you're kind of fooling yourself, but you're also trying to like pressure yourself into going out and doing those things.
So then there's a different kind of goal, and that's not necessarily the striving to do something, but it is the striving to not do something.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a very, very different thing. So if you, I think the big one worldwide is giving up smoking.
Yeah.
Right. So that, I mean, books and books and books have been written about that subject, and it's really difficult to conclusively say here's how you do it, because it turns out it's really, really difficult. What are your thoughts on let's say, for instance, giving up a vice in the new year?
Ooh. So yeah, so I'm giving up a vice. I'm giving up drinking. In South Africa they do Sober October, but here they do Dry Jan. So it's the same thing. So for a month you don't have any alcohol. And we're talking here about like not being like you know, critically addicted to something where you can't go you can't wake up without having a bottle of vodka, because I think those are like you need to have a bit more care with those kind of addictions. But
yeah, I think that's actually a very good point. Is we're obviously not a podcast that is we're not professionals on addiction.
Yeah,
we're
we're just a bunch of like 30 somethings that talking crap into a microphone. When I think about that, I think it's like there is a way of practicing restraint in your life, right? So what you're doing there is you want to try and find ways where you can restrain yourself, because I think that restraining yourself and thinking about like delayed gratification, they kind of go hand in hand. You can do those on a daily basis and you can find ways to do that, right? So you can say like, well, yeah, you can say like, oh, there's a cupcake on the table. I'm not going to have that cupcake, or I'm going to keep it until like maybe on Sundays you can go all out and do it.
Sundays are cupcake days.
Exactly. Or finding ways to like prevent yourself from doing that and kind of teaching yourself to delay gratification in a sense. Or finding some sort of alternative, right? So one thing for eating is if you're hungry, you can drink a glass of water. And then what that does is it like expands your stomach. And then there's certain sort of hormones that when your stomach expands, it says, oh, I'm full. And that can kind of stop you from like doing that eating just for a little bit until you've got something else to focus on. And then you tend to forget about it. So trying to find like both hooks and then also practicing restraint on a daily basis can get you more into the idea of doing that. Same thing with phones, right? A lot of people want to like have less phone time. So like, first of all, removing the actual distractor. So like deleting things like social media apps and those kind of things and putting them aside, but then also like giving yourself something else to do, to practice not engaging with those devices. Right. I don't know if that's coherent, but
yeah, I think the cessation of compulsively scrolling is definitely now a much more widespread exactly. problem than it was 10 years ago. And I think like if I were to spitball, I'd say that there's a large percentage of people where that's part of their New Year's resolution, spend less time on TikTok, Instagram.
And I think it's easier than you think, right? I think people know what the answers are. Like deleting the those apps are kind of the thing. But I think the thing is like over time, you kind of feel like you're missing out. And then that's what kind of draws you to like re-download this app. I've tried multiple times to like prevent myself from going onto different like websites like YouTube. I think you also had like a YouTube blocker at one point.
Yeah, I went and I modified the hosts file on my computer so it just redirected to localhost.
Yeah, but like eventually you like find your way back, right? Because there's something that you need to like sort of replace there, right? Or you need to internalize it as a different thing. Like, so with social media, like I've been thinking of myself as not really I'm not really being a good texter, but like the last few months I've just been like a non-tech dude. I just like want to be like old-fashioned and just like, you know, mechanical and stuff like that.
Can you get yourself one of those e-ink light phones?
Yeah, I wish if WhatsApp worked on it, but I still have to phone my family every now and again. they don't want to think that I've dropped off the face of the earth. But like, yeah, I think internalizing that and then just saying like, oh, I'm going to spend more time like, you know, thinking, being bored, those kind of things. And so I've kind of been able to like let my phone be itself. But then, you know, maybe you just visit, you know, x.com on your laptop or something instead, and you give yourself something else that kind of detracts you away from the phone itself.
Well, so what's been quite nice for me, and I've been doing that this year, is when I wake up, my phone stays on charge and I don't touch it, which is fine. I'm actually not interested in touching it. And then I'll have a coffee with Emma and we'll chat, and then I'll head down to the gym, but I'll actually leave my phone at home. And I'll go and I'll work out and I'll sauna.
The old-fashioned way.
Oh, yeah, no, old-fashioned. There's music playing in the gym, and whenever I put my headphones on, even though they're noise-canceling, you get that cross-contamination of music.
Yeah.
So I'll just go and, you know, work out to the music that's playing in the gym, and then I'll go and I'll have a cheeky sauna, right? And then by the time I get home, hey, you know, that's been a good, you know, 2 hours of daytime without my phone, and now it's time to get into work anyway, so I might like check my messages and stuff, but then I hop on my laptop, and my second intention for the year is to grow my blogging platform there, and so I've got a revenue goal, since that's like or a revenue goal threshold. So let's say, for instance, the goal, the threshold is, you know, X $1,000 recurring revenue per month. Well, what happens when I hit it? Right. So I think it's also important to just like go and reevaluate your goals throughout the year. But so like I'm trying to write more, since there's a direct correlation between people who read my blog and signups for the platform.
Yeah.
And so what I did for about a month last year is I would say I'm writing for 20 minutes every workday, first thing, before I start getting into work. And the thing about 20 minutes of writing is that the problem with sitting down to write is that problem of inertia. Is the hardest part is starting to write, right? Continuing writing, it's easy, right? So 20 minutes is not a daunting thing, right? I'm not saying I'm sitting down to write an essay. It's no, I'm just writing for 20 minutes. It usually turns into an essay. But if it doesn't, and I'm like really feeling uncreative, I can just like write for 20 minutes, give up, and I've done my thing. And 20 minutes, 5 days a week, easy peasy. Like I spend more time than that on various other distractions. So
lifting weights.
I mean, I'm spending 45 minutes a day on that.
If only you could like lift weights and write at the same time, you know.
Really heavy pens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I think, yeah, like I also like on my list is also to do more writing. Kind of. Yeah, for me last year I got back into reading, so I haven't been that much of a prolific reader. I mean, I read online things a lot, but this year, I mean last like 2023, I was doing more reading of actual physical books and reading fiction. I was always like of the opinion that there's nothing to be learned in fiction, which I kind of have changed my mind on.
Damn straight.
Exactly. But because, you know, like I was always like a, you know, very sciencey kind of dude, and I liked science, and I always liked nonfiction books because they had like something tangible. So I've read a bit more fiction, and I've found that it helps me to focus a bit more. And it gives you a way to, especially physical books, it gives you a way to transition from work, phone, digital, online into like sleep.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then part of this year is taking reading. I'm going to continue to do that. But now it's about distilling information. So, and this is also something about goals, is that you need to find like a really like extrinsic thing that you really think is good about that habit or that goal. So for me, my thing is that writing is about distilling information, right? So we read a lot of information, we consume a lot, but then people ask you like, what's your opinion on this? Like, what do you think about that? And you're like, I don't know about that. I've read a lot of articles, but I've not like condensed it into like one solid thought. And so I think writing is a way, and this is something I've also learned from my company, unfortunately. It's a great company. That you have to be able to distill the information. And it's actually that act of like writing something out that gets you to start to think about, oh, that's a belief that I don't know if it's true or not. Or, you know, what do I actually think about that? And so I'm seeing writing as a way of distilling what I've read into something that I can actually be knowledgeable on. And so that's why I'm doing more
that
reading
makes sense
as
to me.
Well. I mean, writing. and reading as well.
I write in my journal every day, but then I also, you know, write publicly, and they serve two very different purposes. The writing in the journal is more about exploring me, and then writing in public is about exploring concepts and ideas, or just showing people something interesting that I've been building.
Heading into the sort of end of this, what is your sort of most niche thing that you want to do in 2024?
So as we've spoken about before, I've got this little gaming console with a little crank on the side. It's called the Playdate. It's a little black and white screen. And I am going to be building a game for it. So I built a game for it in the past year just to learn the SDK and just more about building for the Playdate. But this year I'm going to take on a proper big project. I'm hesitant to say what the project is going to be. So just, I'm building a game.
It's going to be a game, and you're going to need 50 developers, and it's going to be a big project, multiple designers.
No. Just me, like, and AAA. preferably a pixel artist, because and ChatGPT. I don't have the patience for pixel art, to be entirely honest.
For me, I think we spoke about it before we started, is that I've transitioned, I've always got one foot in the Chemex jog. So I'm going to be trying out different coffee makers. So I've been always a fan of the Chemex.
Nice.
Since I've moved to the UK. And so I think AeroPress is the next one. Mokapot might be in there, and I might come to you for some guidance on the best way to mocha.
Yeah, please do. I've got three different mocha pots just right down here.
Yeah, exactly. So it's more about, like, I've always enjoyed coffee. I enjoy the process of making it, but now I want to kind of diversify away from that love of filter.
Just pour over.
Only for the fact that I want to, you know, have a bit more diversity in the types of coffee that I drink. So that's my sort of niche goal for the year.
Well, I support this.
So if you've set yourself a goal for 2024, all I want you to do is go and give us a 5-star rating so we can know how many of our listeners have set themselves a 2024 goal.
And in so doing, you will be helping us achieve a goal of being a better podcast.
Exactly.